This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Virginia Roberts Giuffre has a new book out. It is called Nobody's Girl. It's her posthumous release, and it goes into the details of her life, of what happened when she was being trafficked from Mar-a-Lago to Epstein Island. And it's a dark one, but it is, I think, a read that everybody should check out. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us talking about this book and the concept of how these people operate and where their brains are at and how it got from point A to point B. How do predators identify others who will protect them? What sort of psychological radar are they looking for in others when they know they need to insulate themselves? Not necessarily that they're inviting their other rich and powerful friends along for their ride, but when they're trying to find the folks that are going to help put up that structure that's going to shield them from the rest of the world, at least in their mind, finding out what exactly they're up to. What kind of people are those folks that otherwise, would not engage in the actual predatory behavior, but they're enabling it, they're next to it, they're living their own lives, they may have their own families, their own everything, and they look like normal human beings and carry out normal, healthy activities in their lives outside of being the infrastructure that keeps these people in the places that they do. I mean, who are they targeting? I mean, who are the prime candidates to be essentially these individuals, flying monkeys, if you will?
So here's what I think is probably happening. There's I don't think they actually have a test or an interview process. No. For, hey, you look like somebody could really
check these boxes and.
But think about this, so again, these thought experiments do us a great service, and that is, who are the types of people that typically do this? These are people that objectify human beings. They love using power, control. You can see them rationalize abhorrent behavior. And so, say you're someone at that level of Epstein, and you're just watching the news, and you're watching news, and you're watching, any kind of, tickers online for someone, like a CEO's behavior in this, or you're seeing, a lawsuit being filed against this, and you're watching public statements being made, you're watching this person being interviewed. There's going to be a lot of leakage about how that person views individuals, how they view the world. And if you start resonating with someone, it's like, hey, I would do it the same way as this guy. I would say exactly the way he is. I would, because what are they doing? They're identifying someone who has no problem objectifying another human being. They've got a lot of verbal and nonverbal leakage about what's more important, the bottom line or the human being. And so when you start getting a little bit of leakage, then what happens next? Well, I'll give them a call and say, hey, what you said online the other day, I know you're getting a lot of haters out there, but you know what? I really understand what you're saying. You're part of the club of, hey, well, we all got to be in this together. We've got to support each other. Why don't you come out to my island sometime? And so you start getting a little, you're just testing waters. And it's a test to see how collectively we are all thinking together. Remember, they aren't consciously looking for allies for them to do bad behaviors. They're just seeing if you want to do bad behaviors with me, because you might bring more people into the fray that I can take advantage of as well. I don't think they're doing it to take care of each other. I think they're doing it for they can identify more prey. Ah. None of these people are doing anything for anyone else but themselves. And so predators identifying other predators, it's not for the benefit of doing something kind to the predator. No, they want the predator's prey that they're going to bring into their circle.
So how do we protect young women? How do we protect young boys? How do we protect our youth and the vulnerable from predators like this? Is there a way to protect them? I mean, here we are in the year 2025, and we're still talking about things like this. This sounds like it's the dark ages. We should have better protections in place, and yet it feels like we're kind of on our own.
We got to pay attention. oh my gosh. And we don't rationalize away the things you're seeing and observing. I did a piece, I think it was because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And again, the same thing, kids being self-radicalized and going down the path of darkness and the dark triad. And it's hard to see. It's kind of like, and again, this isn't saying that no parent is doing their job, because everyone thinks they're doing a great job, but do this for yourself. Start keeping a journal, a photographic record, a journal. Like my wife and I, we're out camping right now. You can see I'm in my camper. I apologize. Mm-hmm. And so every time we go on a trip, I actually have a journal. I call it our camping journal. I take some photos. I take some things we're doing, and I put it. And so what I highly recommend people doing is do this for people in your life, your family members, especially your children. Keep a record. Start family traditions of communicating and interactions at a young, young age. Get people in the habit of communicating openly and honestly. The only way they're going to do that is if you don't shame them from what they're saying. You don't mm-hmm. judge what's coming out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. You be there to listen. And if you start journaling, where you're going to start noticing, you're going to start noticing an arc, a behavior of the people in their lives, of the types of friends they have, the amount they're communicating with you. And then once a week, assess how much do we communicate. Is it staying the same or is it getting less? Because what happens is that when children, young adults, or even adults start going down a darker path, there's a shift in behavior. But it doesn't go from 0 to 100. It's a gradual shift, but there was all of a sudden a shift where some becomes more and more isolated, more and more to themselves. And if you're worried that you're not going to recognize it, you will recognize it. If you look back, all right, a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, we were talking this much about this kind of things. And over here, somewhere along the way, we stopped talking. So you can actually look at the data and say, where did this happen? It happened here. And then you can walk up to Sally or John and say, hey, I noticed back about a month ago, we didn't seem to start talking as much. What's going on? I'm here for you. What is mm-hmm. going on? Bingo. And so you can actually help them identify, because they might, people are oblivious to what happens, but something happened here. What was it?
Well, we live in a world, I mean, obviously everyone's upbringing is a little bit different. It does all start at home if you have, you know, stable and healthy communications, and you raise your children in reality, on reality's term, and don't hide behind ignorance as a virtue, or mistake, you know, innocence for ignorance. I think you can make a huge difference in where those young people are going to end up and the type of people they're going to end up surrounding themselves with, and knowing, and they'll have a knowledge of, yes, this is a healthy communication I'm having with someone, or this is a big red flag. I feel like we have a world where we have a lot of kids that are very educated on this topic, and they're able to steer away from getting themselves into a situation mm-hmm. where they're going to get groomed and they're going to have somebody take advantage of them. Again, it starts at home, and it's the luck of the draw for all of us as to who and what we're born into. But we also, I think you can have the most well-meaning family in the world, and if you're protecting that child's innocence with ignorance, you're not helping that child. I mean, at some point, you got to let the kid wake up. You can't protect them from the world forever, because if you keep protecting them from the world forever, they're going to fall into the pits. And I feel like we do a lot of that. It's, oh, they're so innocent. And yeah, and it sucks that we live in a really shitty world with a lot of predatory people. So yes, realistically, when they're really young, yeah, we don't need to be educating them necessarily, because they're not going to understand what the hell half of this is. But I feel like at a younger age, we need to start teaching kids about this sort of shit, and we don't. I mean, I started educating my daughter at like 5 or 6. We were watching To Catch a Predator, and I felt she needed to understand there's shitty people out there. There's scary people out there in this world, and as much as I'd like to be there 1,000% around her at all times of the day, I can't be, because I'd like her to grow and develop into a strong, independent woman. She needs to have these building blocks in her life, in her mind, to understand what she's up against out there, so she doesn't fall into those pits. But just as a parent, and you've probably seen it too, you know, when your kids were younger, there's so many parents who, kids of even the same ages, there's so many kids are completely ignorant to this topic. And yeah, they're the ones that are going to fall into this shit because they're not going to see the red flags. And they're going to go, oh, this guy really does seem like a nice guy. He must really care about me. And then they fall down those roads. It's we don't educate at home enough on so many of these things. And again, it's circumstantial. You're at the odds of what kind of education your parent had. And it doesn't mean college education, just common sense education,
right,
on what you're going to prepare your children for in the world around them. Because sometimes the parents are just as ignorant as some of the victims can be, because they don't know what they're up against.
Yeah. I'm having some fun flashbacks with my kids. When it came to rules in our house, we always had a reason why we had a rule. When I was in the Marine Corps, one of the things I did in the Marine Corps is I was at Parris Island, South Carolina. I was a company commander in charge of a bunch of recruits at boot camp and drill instructors and the whole world down there. And I remember, believe it or not, every single one of my drill instructors knew that you could not punish a recruit with push-ups or any of the other crazy things you could do unless the recruit actually knew what rule they broke. So there's always it wasn't just haphazard like people think it is, just for the hell of it. There's actually, you broke a rule, here's a consequence, and the recruit had to know what the consequence was and why the rule was in place. And so I did the same thing with my kids, not like boot camp, but what I did was, we didn't have rules for the sake of rules, or just because dad said so or mom said so. There's a reason, and there's a real world reason why we have a curfew. There's a real world reason why you can't be online. And my daughter related to me recently that I when she was about 12 or 13 years old, she said I scared the living hell out of her because I wouldn't let her do something because I always would start the statement with, you want to know why we have the rule? You want to hear a story? And she said, I told her one of these horrendous stories like we're just talking about. It scared the living hell out of her. And now she understood why I had that rule in place. And I think I traumatized her, but at the same time, my wife said, oh, yeah, but she didn't get in trouble, did she? I said, no, she didn't. Good point. But, and I'm with you, you know, it's understanding at what point, you know, you expose people to the world and the reality of the world, but understanding that it's a very safe place to be if you surround yourself with safe people. And to that point also, it was understanding who's in their lives. My kids, we knew, you know, my wife, to her huge credit, she always wanted to make sure that we were the house that everyone wants to come to, that they felt safe coming to. My kids would be very happy bringing their kids to, because then we knew everyone in their lives. And when one of my kids all of a sudden would have someone that kind of deviated from their norm of individuals and they spiked, then we started having conversations. Tell me about this person. I don't understand what you see here, because this person looks different than this people over here. We didn't judge it. We asked questions about it, which got their eyes to open up a little bit more, and they started making decisions. And those people self-selected outside of their circle, then they moved away. But it came a lot of engagement. And then also, I know some of the challenges that if parents and guardians and others have a problem at home, or they're not seeing anything at home because they're always at work so much, or whatever the reason, remember, you can ask people in your kids' lives if they're seeing differences and changes. Teachers are seeing your kids every single day.
Yep.
You can say, hey, from the beginning of the year to now, what have you seen? I'm not talking about grades. I'm not talking, those are things that are great. They're great indicators. But seriously, what do you see with their social interactions they're having? When have they had good days, bad days? What's their norm pattern that you're seeing at school? And start taking note of that. Write these things down. I know it sounds like it's energy, but it is. It's really, really, really important, because sometimes in order to have clarity of thought and objectivity, you have to see things from point A to point B objectively, because otherwise we might start rationalizing away what we're seeing. No, if you write it down, it'll be so much more telling for you. It'll become so much more obvious. And as things start shifting to a potential negative dark area, you're going to catch it so much more fast, and then there won't become a problem.
The FBI has the Epstein tapes, the depositions, names. In your opinion, why is justice frozen here? why is it just sit when they know who these people are? Obviously, many of them in power, maybe people there as well. I mean, why? Maybe that's the answer. Why does this just sit? That's the biggest question, obviously, I think the American people have. Why the hell? With this information that exists, Why is nothing done?
So I'm going to give you the answer of what I typically see in situations like this. Yeah. This and it's going to be the really boring answer, and that is, it's simply not organized enough to give a clarity of answer. I've been part of so many investigations where someone will come for an answer. So here's a great example. I think we've talked about this before, where say, and this happens all the time, you know, say some big thing happens in the world or in the government or an investigation. Here's what typically happens. Very rarely is it just one field office and one case agent. And there's always one case agent that's the main corraler of information in the investigation. But there are so many leads. There's so many things that are put out all across the bureau. And in this case, if you have people that are dealing all across the world, so many other data points and people that are doing interviews and collecting information and should be then routing it all back to the main case file. But there's a lot of collection going on all over the place, and things just sometimes aren't done right. They're not done well, and collecting it all in one place. And it's
we've had plenty of time to figure this shit out by now. I mean, this is not like this is a new thing.
Then I'll do the other side, Tony. It's like, hey, it could be, you know, it could be a cover up, or it could be a lack of wanting to see or find the details. But I think, you know, Cash Patel did a decent job in the first couple of weeks when he promised before he came in as a director to give a lot of exposure, right, to all these things. And guys like me that are former bureau guys are kind of laughing when he's saying that, because I know how these things work. You know, so here's an example. When we worked a recruitment operation, which is the highest level of protecting an individual, because we're protecting not just the individual that we've recruited that is working on behalf of a foreign government now working for us, giving us huge top secret things, but the tools, methodologies, and technologies and individuals we use to get them on board is also protected. We kept this on separate systems that were closed held in back rooms so that no one in the world could ever get access to it, but a very, very small, closely held group of people for the protection of the individual. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Cash Patel first came on board and he's saying he's going to expose everything, I'm kind of laughing, because if he doesn't know which door to open or can't find the people that actually know where the files are at, he'll never find anything. And so maybe it's all in one spot. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's, who knows? It's a government bureaucracy. This point, it could be any of those reasons above. It could be simple bureaucracy. It could be because it never existed. It could be because they're covering it up. I got no idea.
It could be the victims might come out with the list. The victims might start naming the people, and I'm surprised that they haven't, to be honest with you.
And that's why, Stacey, I do think that I edge on this one, because you know me with conspiracy theories. I don't think it's so rare that there's a conspiracy theory, because especially when you have so many people involved, you would have leakage. And you'd have leakage of partial lists and things like that. Especially right now, there's so many disgruntled people inside the government that have also retired from the government, that have no skin in the game, that would say, bleh. I mean, so here, I retired from the Bureau in 2018, and, you know, if I had skin on the game or anything, I would just blurt it out. I could make a buck for myself. I write a book about it. I mean, but you're not seeing anyone doing that. Probably because they don't know about it. It's not there. Again, that's just Robin Dreek's anti-conspiracy theory on stuff, because I've never been exposed to the theory of one that ever played out, because government just can't keep secrets. People in it, they just leak like sieves.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, like you were saying, Stacey, like the victims coming out and saying it, and they have. People have been naming names for years.
Yep.
It's just nobody wants to accept the reality of the names they're naming. And then the people that are being named have enough flying monkeys around their narcissistic chambers to send out and go, no, that's not true, and let's attack the messenger, and then discredit or try and discredit the people who are trying to speak out about it. So it's not like the names aren't out there. We all know a lot of the names. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty that we will be surprised by if they come out. But at the same point, society as a whole, if it sounds icky, if it goes against their belief in who that person is, for whatever reason, they have this belief in a specific individual. And I'm not making an example of any specific person, but if it goes against that, then they're not going to accept it.
Yeah. So here's what I think. And so I'm sorry, Tony. So to your point on this, here's what I think is a more probable thing that's happened here. It's not a collective thought of conspiracy or cover-up, but to your exact point, so all these leads get sent out to all these different places at all different times over a long period of time, all across the world, to interview this person, contact this person. And then what happens is that person does that interview, but that mindset of, oh, couldn't possibly be this, and you rationalize away this. And so that person that did that one interview kind of downplays it or shuffles it off or doesn't get uploaded because the other person that was supposed to upload it didn't think it was much of a big deal at the time. So what happens is all those people and all those victims are identified. They were all talked to, but because you had a lot of holes in the bucket of holding it together, just didn't care or didn't think it was much. It just didn't get into, it didn't get consolidated into something more solid. So I think it all probably happened where they did do all the things they're supposed to do. Because I don't know why they wouldn't have, because there's not a collective person that says, hey, let's have a conspiracy to cover this up. It just doesn't happen that way. But I think because they weren't doing it because of all the way that people's brains are working, I think it was just leaking out before it got an ability to kind of get a collective together. That's why I think we're seeing it like we are. It's kind of piecemeal here, piecemeal here, piecemeal here, because I don't think anyone ever came together and said, we need to do this. That makes more sense?
Yeah. How do you think a society would react in America? You know, let's say the list finally comes out, and let's say it names a whole bunch of people, including ones that we don't know about, ones that we already, you know, like, oh my God, I didn't realize that, you know, the jackalope from the America's Funniest People was a predator, you know, right. Like just, you know, weird shit. I mean, I don't think anyone can get mad at me for making an example of the jackalope. So I made up a fake, five people remember the jackalope. Dave Coulier, yes, I'm the jackalope. He talked like that. It was a real funny bit. Things like that, I mean, a real human being, if a bunch of names are to drop, how do you think society will react? Or is it going to be a real kind of big anticlimactic moment where we think, oh my gosh, all these people are going down? Or is it just going to be like everything else has been, where it's like the ones who want to believe it will believe it, the ones where it goes against what they want to believe of people in their own bubble of reality just won't, and we'll just keep moving along? I mean, there's exactly. Still people that will go pay to go see Bill Cosby to this day.
No. You know? Exactly. I mean, yeah. I think that's exactly, I think you'll have a bunch of people that say, oh my gosh, you have a bunch of people that'll be, I mean, most of us are inoculated against, you know, crazy crap already. Yeah. And you're like, all right. And then you'll have people that are defend it. Like that it's all conspiracy. You all made this up, and the other side will be just the opposite. You didn't include as much. I mean, people be believing it, people be disbelieving it, and other people be inoculated against it. And at the end of the day, what's it really going to matter? We're going to be watching then a trial. And most likely we'll think that people got off too light and we're moving on. I mean, that's, if we keep playing the same tape again and again,
I know,
you know, yeah. I mean, I keep going back to this Diddy case. I mean, how much you got to watch someone doing something horrendous and horrible and pretty much get away with the entire thing and everyone going, huh? Oh, well.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's a feeling of collective helplessness, I think, that we have. And we've been groomed this way by society, by some of these people in power, to feel helpless. And it's like, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. And it's sad. It's disturbing.
So I think the best we can keep doing is to try to get to a point, because we keep losing faith in government institutions, you know, and our criminal justice system because of things like this sometimes, although it's still the best in the world. But that's why I think, you know, books like hers and other people that are talking about what they went through as victims really goes a long way in trying to help us keeping it from happening in the first place. Yep. You know, because if we don't get to the point where we have these types of victims, then we don't have to worry about a system failing us.
If you can do more offense, if you can start it at home, like we were talking about earlier, if there's more of that, at the end of the day, it just comes down to having a strong home, a strong family, raising children by competent people who have a clue on how to do it. If we can get better there, a lot of these other problems tend to take care of themselves. They were not always playing defense on predators. But I mean, that's And that's if we can't a problem do that, I don't think we're going to fix anytime
soon. I know. And if we can't do that, I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, child protective services fail too? You know,
God.
I mean, when we see all the money going into these different programs, you know, how about actually put in some place where, you know, let's go back to, you know, the Rudy Giuliani days when he actually was mayor of New York and was did a phenomenal job of taking care of crime in New York because he took care of the squeegee people on the streets. You know, when you take care of the small crimes, the big crimes kind of evaporate. And the same kind of thought process here, again, put everyone's politics aside with anything. Just look at people's, you know, what actually works at that lower granular level. And when you do the same thing here, it all just cascades and takes care of itself from that point.
Yeah. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. As always, thank you so much for coming on and talking. His latest book right here, Unbreakable Alliances, available wherever books are sold. Go and check that out, please. Until next time, for Stacey, Todd, and Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.